I pray, Father, for those that are here today. Those that might not even care about you, Lord, right now, I pray they would hunger and thirst after you, Lord. Those that seem so distant from you tonight, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that a hope would rise up within them, Father, and a desire to entertain your word. I pray those that are struggling, Father, I pray a supernatural strength, a grace that would come over them, Father, that a hunger and a thirst would rise up in their being, Lord. Or all they want to do is embrace you, Father. I pray for every saint in here today, Lord. I pray the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The comfort of the Holy Spirit over them in the name of Jesus. You haven't gone that far back. He's still with you, friend. He's still with you. He's still with you. So I give you praise, Jesus. I give you praise. I give you praise. Jesus, I give you praise. Oh, I give you praise. So I thank you, Father, that you sent us the Comforter, the precious Holy Spirit. The precious Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us to all truth. I give you praise, Jesus. I give you everlasting praise. Precious name I pray, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You be seated real quietly. Hallelujah. I want to share something with you, man. And I hope I can finish tonight. I really hope I can. If I can't, Barbara, you have to finish up the service for me. Or anybody. Throughout the last, I'm going to give you a little testimony. Then we're going to get into something. And it all started when I picked up Pastor Dave the other day at the airport. I looked at him. I said, man, you look good. You know him and his crazy flaky self. You know, he always seems like he's in another world. So you looking good, Pastor Dave. Well, Homer. You know, I know how he does it. Pastor right in the back. It's my truck. So Dave rides with me in the front, Pastor in the back. Dave, you're looking good, Pastor Dave. Well, Homer. Does he do it like that or what? He said, I have aught with nobody. Me and Pastor both wanted to cry. In other words, he said, I'm healthy. I'm 70 years old, and I'm healthy as can be. He said, I have no unforgiveness inside of me towards anybody on the face of this earth. Right then, I wanted to cry. And he said that over and over the whole week. That's began to work something in me. I was crying because it hit a spot in me. And I cried and cried. And I've been spending a lot of hours lately, as much as I can, in prayer. Because I feel distant. I felt distant from God. I felt real distant. I didn't really feel God. I didn't feel him like and I'm going to say this now, and just for teaching purposes. For the amount of hours that I've been praying and reading, I didn't feel him. He felt so far from me. And I knew something was wrong. I couldn't put my finger on it. I knew something was wrong. I said, Lord, and not that I'm worried about hours. He don't care about hours, man. God, I'm going through the book of love 1,000 times, Father. I'm consuming the Proverbs, praying in the Spirit. I'm doing all that I know to do, Lord, but I don't feel you the way that I should. So then this morning I got up and spent the majority of the morning here in the church because I had to find the answer. I had to find out what the problem was. So I got here today around 3:00 and spent the evening in prayer. I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? And he took me back to when I asked Pastor Dave. I said, man, you look good, Pastor Dave. He said, Homer, I have unforgiveness and ought towards nobody. And I realized there and then that there were some people that I was not too crazy over. So you might say, you mean you prayed all those hours and read all those books and Well, all those hours that I did led me to this, that I had unforgiveness in my heart today. It hit me about 4 o'clock and I began to weep. I said, Lord, you know I don't like them people. I know I don't like them. You know I'm supposed to like them. And I know I'm not supposed to like them. I've asked that you forgive me, Lord, for having utter unforgiveness towards them. I've asked them to forgive me. But I still, they're so hard for me, Jesus. So then he gave me instruction. I began to hear Pastor Dave when he said, make a list. In other words, make a list of those that you don't like. Who are they? None of your business. Nobody in here. And I began to think, I said, Lord, I want to make a list. If there's anything I want to feel, Jesus, I want to feel you. Let me tell you something. I'm going to teach you what he taught me. I'm going to teach you also. If there's somebody that you can't stand to be around, you have ought and unforgiveness in your heart. If there's somebody when you see you want to go the other way, my friend, you have ought and unforgiveness in your heart. And you're locking up the kingdom of God. Until you're putting yourself, you might get by. You might get by. But you will not experience the presence of God. You won't experience who God truly is unless you begin to deal with that ought and unforgiveness. If you have one person that you just can't stand, you talk to them because you have to. If they make your blood boil, my friend, you have ought and unforgiveness in your heart. So I said, Lord, what do I do, Lord? I was crying. I said, Lord, what do I do? Make a list. And I made a list in my mind of people that I really didn't like. And I began to say stuff like, Father, there is no ought in your kingdom. Therefore, I do not walk in ought. Those are my brothers and my sisters, Father. I pray for them. I pray that you would bind us together, Lord. That you would give me an opportunity to hug them and to love them and to tell them how much that I love them, Lord. And I would say it and I'd feel good and I'd cry and then they'd come up again as me not liking them. So I said it over and over, Father, I thank you. I thank you that they have weaknesses, Lord. Just like I have weaknesses. I thank you, Lord, that the grace that you give them to grow, you give me the same grace. Lord, I say there's no ought or unforgiveness in me, Father. And if there is ought or unforgiveness in me, Lord, I pray that by mercy and truth, that ought will be purged out of my heart. And I call their names before the throne room of God. I said, Lord, I thank you. I'm just going to say a name. I thank you for Alex. It wasn't Alex. I thank you, Lord, that Alex, Lord, what he did was petty, Lord. It was nothing. He did. It's never Alex's fault, Father. It's my fault for taking an offense. I've said it once, and nobody knows who I'm talking about. There was a man several years that tried to make a pass at my wife. And if a man makes a pass at your wife, it's not because he wants to play Monopoly with her. Let's not be ignorant. And I thought I forgave him. But I couldn't hold him and hug him the way I do David. Or the way I do Elijah or Quentin or Deidre. I couldn't hold him and love him and kiss him on the head the way I do my kids. I couldn't. Why? Because of unforgiveness in my heart. So I called that person's name before the throne room of God. I said, Lord, they are not my problem. That man did nothing to take my peace. I lost my peace and I decided to walk in unforgiveness because I chose to. See, there's no unforgiveness in heaven, friends. And believe it or not, when you get born again, you're a citizen from another country. And the country that you're a citizen from is the kingdom of heaven. And if there's no unforgiveness there, if there's no ought there, and I'm from there, and I walk in ought, and I walk in unforgiveness in my friends, I have locked up the kingdom of God unto myself. Think about it. When you got saved, we said, Jesus Christ, come into my heart. What of my sins? What? What did we say? What? Lord Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are God. Forgive me of my sins. Forgiveness is the very thing that got me saved. And I want to have aught or unforgiveness towards a man or a woman. I have locked up what got me saved. The blood of Jesus cleansed me of my sin. Who the heck am I to think that I can have aught towards somebody else when aught and unforgiveness does not exist in the kingdom that I'm from? So I was miserable. I said, Lord, I know I don't like him, Lord. You know I don't like him. Just because he tried to take my wife. It sounds like a legitimate reason. But in the kingdom of God, there is no unforgiveness. That's why I can't get my eyes healed. That's why my sugar's so unstable. Because I walked around all these years with unforgiveness. That's why some of you can't get healed. Pastor Dave said, oh, I'm healthy. 70 years old, I can run a marathon. It's because I have unforgiveness towards nobody. Some of you have been treated unkindly. You're mad at life. That's why you can't get nowhere with Jesus. Lost your mom. Lost your dad. It hurts, man. You say, God, why me, Lord? I read an article the other day, I know, about Deidrin. And I cried. I cried. And God knows I love that boy. Him and Jimmy, they've been a blessing to us. They've been living with us for a while. And I read the article. Seriously, if I can't finish, Barbara, somebody's going to have to come finish. I'm going to. And I read his article. It's about a page. He did. The neighbors did a magnificent job with this article. And one thing about Deidrin, he's a gentle giant. He always wants my wife to serve him. Mr. Rosie, you got to serve me. Miss Rosie, you make the best salad in the world. Always wants my wife to serve me. Her, serve him. Even before me, and she will. I ain't arguing that he'll beat me up. And I read the article the other day where he said, I was big old Division I football player. He said, I was my mother's baby. She was alive, and she left. I was her little baby. A 17-year-old, 300-pound Division I football player said, I was my mama's little baby. Tell you this, we'll be your parents to the best of our ability, Deidre. You don't bother us, son. We love you so much. You're our little baby now. But I say all that to say this, I know some of us have gone through rough times, man. We've had death, divorce, strife in our lives, but the kingdom that we represent, there is no unforgiveness. It's a forgiving kingdom. It's a kingdom of mercy and truth. And I began to call out the people's names today. Father, I thank you that they've done nothing for me to hate them, Lord. I took an offense because I chose to take the offense. No matter what they did to me, I had no God-given right to walk in unforgiveness towards them. Because in the kingdom of my Father, all that exists is a four-letter word. And that's love. And immediately, Sandy, immediately when I began to put their names, I'm telling you, listen to me. Don't say he's not talking to me. If you sit within yourself, he's not talking to me. Yes, the Holy Spirit's talking directly to you. If there's somebody you can't stand, you have locked up all that God is. Just because you feel God on Sunday morning don't mean you're okay. I'm talking about feeling God every single minute, every hour, every day on the day, every week on the week, every month of the month, to know that you belong to Him. I'm not talking about playing a song that touches your emotion. I'm talking about knowing that you rub shoulders with Jesus Christ. If there's somebody you can't stand, you're locking up all that heaven is to you. Deal with it, friend. Or you'll be. My anointing has stayed the same for the last 6 years because of my ignorance. But I promise you, every time these thoughts come to my heart about my brothers, I will lift up their name before the throne room of heaven. Because I want, if there's anything I want, is to feel God working in my midst. I could care less. I'm going to tell you this. I could care Sunday morning about feeling Him in front of you. I could care less about that. That we judge people by how they worship sometimes. That means nothing, man. How we live outside of these walls is who we really are. People have come worship God in this church and we say, oh my God, they're so hungry for Jesus. Based on what? Based on a tear? Based on the way they raise their hand? No. We need to judge people according to how they live outside of these walls. Oh my God, see how hungry they are? Why? Because they raised up their hand. I know a lot of worship leaders that are homosexuals, but they raise up their hand. If you can't stand somebody, you are in prison. And I put their names as before the throne room of God. And I felt a release come over me. I felt a release. I felt 1,000,000 pounds lifted off my back. You know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I've created my list. I'm going to keep confessing over my brothers and sisters. I'm going to call every single one of them tomorrow. And even if they tell me, you already told me this once, I'm going to tell them again. Because I will not live my life having aught with my brother. I will not live my life having unforgiveness towards my brother and sister. There are no blind eyes in heaven. There is no sugar diabetes in heaven. There is no high blood pressure in heaven. Then why do we have it? Because we don't live according to the standard of heaven, love. If I truly walked in the love of God, I wouldn't have 1 ounce of sickness in my body. Not 1 ounce of sickness. Pastor Bronk seldom ever gets sick. A 70-year-old man is in better health than I am. Why? He said, because I don't have unforgiveness in my heart. If we learn to forgive, all that heaven is, all the power that's in heaven will be made manifest in sort of our being, my friends. If we will not go home premature and die of diabetes, if we learn to not walk in aught or unforgiveness. So go ahead, I dare you to keep hating that person, to keep despising. I dare you, go ahead, stay in prison. I dare you. I dare you. Come on with your bad self. You know everything. It ain't worth the 6 years of hell. Yeah, I've prayed. Yeah, I've read. Yes, we've had a good time on Sunday nights, but I just don't want to have a good time with you on Sunday night. I want to experience all that God is inside of me. I want to walk in His joy. I want to see like a normal person. I don't want to be moody because of my diabetes all the time. I want to know what it's like to walk 100% healthy. And I'll get there if I learn not to have unforgiveness in my heart. I challenge you today, friend. I cried. Those were the shortest 4 hours of my life today because it felt so good. I only know one thing to do when I struggle. I only know one thing to do. To pray. I don't know nothing else. I'm a dummy. I only know one thing to do, Kirsten. I lock myself up and I pray. And I tell you, this almost immediately began to feel better. I want you to listen to this now. We're going to be done and we're going to worship. Go to the book of James real quick. It won't take you long, I promise. Are you getting something out of this? Yes. All right. We're talking about unforgiveness. We're talking about having aught in our hearts. Listen to this now. I won't keep you long. James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Listen to this. James writes, remember now, there's somebody you don't like. Do something about it. Put their name before the throne room of God. Give the Holy Spirit the authority to work in your midst. Don't just shake your head when you see Him. Do something about it in the Spirit. Listen to this. James chapter 4, verse 11. James says, do not speak evil of one another. Now, I want you to listen to this. Now, listen. James says, do not speak evil of one another. What? What's it say after the word other? Brethren. Do not, listen to this now. I want you to stop and ponder, and I want you to judge yourself according to this verse. Do not speak. Now, let me tell you, if there's somebody you don't like, there's somebody that you can't stand. Every time you see them, you say, oh, unforgiveness in your heart towards them. Do you think, and I can answer this question for you because I did it. If there's somebody you don't like, do you think eventually, now, I want everybody to be honest now. Be completely honest. If there's a person that you don't like, Sandy, you have unforgiveness towards him in your heart, eventually, by a show of hands, are you going to say something bad about him? Yes or no? Oh, yes. Yeah. Eventually, if there's somebody you don't like, eventually, we're going to say something bad about him. Listen to this now, please. I beg you. I want to help you be free in God's kingdom so God can do a work in you. This is for all of you to help you. This is for me to help me. This is why some of you can't, you feel so far from God. That's why you can't even seem to want to pray and read because there's unforgiveness and ought in your heart. I want to help you overcome that. Some of you are mad at life. Divorce has ripped up your house up. Divorce ripped my house up. It killed me. My parents were married 20 years. That had an effect on me, man. Had an effect on me. It's affected America. It's affected 50% of every household in America. But it's okay. It happened 20 years ago. My dad moved on. He's happy. He's got a wife that he loves. That's fine. But it still affected me. Because it broke a divine structure. It broke a divine structure instilled by the Lamb of God. Listen to this now. We all raised our hand. I raised both my hands and my feet. That, listen up, guys. If there's somebody we didn't like, eventually we're going to say something about them, ain't we? Whether out loud or in our mind. It starts here, then it goes here, then yeah. It might be in an innocent joke, but there's malice behind. Listen to this now. He said, do not speak evil. Listen to me. Do not speak evil of one another. Listen to this. Brethren, he said, don't speak evil of one another. He said, he who speaks evil of a brother. Now, I'm going to say this worst case scenario. The man, and nobody knows who it is in here, and I will never tell anybody who it is. The man who tried to take my wife was a brother in Christ. It was a brother in Christ. But that brother in Christ did come to me, Kirsten. And apologize like a man. And apologize like a man. So therefore, he did wrong. But in the wrong that he did, Jesus washed that man of his wrong with his blood. So that man was clean. He was clean. But I chose for years to hold his sin against him. Listen to what the writer says. Listen to me, guys, I beg you. He said, Homer, do not speak evil of your brother. For if you speak evil of your brother, Homer, you judge your brother. Okay, listen to this. The writer says, Homer, don't speak evil of your brother. If you speak evil of your brother, he says, you judge. We know that. If you speak evil of your brother, you judge your brother. Duh, we know that one. Listen to what he says, though. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law. Listen to this. He speaks. This is why some of you can't seem to find Jesus interesting. Because there's hate and unforgiveness in your heart. And that's why you're running around all over town acting just like a sinner. Because if you walk in ought and unforgiveness, you're going to struggle tremendously as a Christian. You might be okay for a little bit. Eventually that hatred is going to take your life. Not literally, but it's going to make you miserable. But James gives me an instruction here. So do not speak evil of one another. Brethren, he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. Listen to this now. He said, Homer, don't speak evil of Julio. And if you do speak evil of Julio, you're judging Julio. Not only are you judging Julio, but you're judging the law. What law? We're not under the Ten Commandments anymore. We taught for 4 straight weeks about being born again, which is the what commandment? The first commandment. You get born again, then what comes and lives inside of you? What? Command what? Commandments. Jesus, you are the Son of God. You obeyed the first commandment. That allows the commandments of God to come dwell inside of your spirit. He said, Homer, don't speak evil of Julio. Because if you speak evil of Julio, you judge Julio. And if you judge Julio, you judge the law. Or, it could be written, or you judge the first John, or you judge what? Or you judge the commandment. What? I get born again. Jesus, you are the Son of God. The commandments of God come and live inside of me. James says, Homer, don't speak evil of Sandy. If you speak evil of Sandy, you judge Sandy. And if you judge Sandy, you judge the law. Or you judge the commandment. What commandment? The commandment that comes out of my heart that tells me to love her. So, in essence, she isn't my problem. If God inside of me asked me to forgive her, if God asked me inside of me not to have aught with her, He asked me this pertaining to her. And if I choose not to forgive, if I choose to have hate in my heart, if I choose not to love, He said, not only do you judge her, but you judge the commandment, Homer. So in all essence, she isn't my problem. You know who my problem is? God. Because He gave me the commandment to forgive my sister. Listen to this now. So you think that's why a person is so miserable that walks in unforgiveness? Because the problem isn't the person. The problem is that they could care less about the commandment inside of them that tells them what to do regarding their brother and sister. Listen to this now. I'm almost done. Listen to this. Do not speak evil one another, brother. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. Listen to this now. But if you judge the law, listen to this. He said, don't speak evil of nobody. He said, not only do you judge them, but you judge the law. Or you judge the commandment. Listen to this. And if you judge the law, if you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Listen to this. There is one lawgiver who is able to save. Listen to this now. I want you to think about this. Listen to me next time that you talk about your brother. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about, in essence, what you're actually saying when you rip your brother and sister. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what's at hand. I want you to think about what you're saying next time that we rip our brother and sister. Listen to this. He says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Wait a minute, I thought Jesus was the ultimate judge. But James said that if I openly rip you, that I judge you. Not only do I judge you, or do I judge Kathy, or do I judge Elijah, but I'm judging the law. I'm judging the commandment that told me to love you and forgive you. He said, there ain't but one. Listen to me. Listen to what he said. He said, there isn't but one lawgiver who saves. Listen to me now. You got to catch this part. He said, Homer, don't judge. Don't judge Rosie, Homer. Don't judge Reuben. Listen to me. I beg you, I beg you, I beg you. Don't judge Reuben. Because when you speak evil of Reuben, you judge Reuben. And when you judge Reuben, you judge the law. Or you judge the commandment. And if you judge the law, you make yourself a judge. Homer, there ain't but one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who are you, Homer, that judges another man? He said, there ain't but one lawgiver that saves and destroys. He said, who are you to judge another man? Well, the next time that we open up our mouth, now this is talking about Joseph. Kathy's like my sister, and I go like that to Kathy. That don't mean I hate her. It just means I'm talking about her nose. And she goes like that to me, why? Because I got a big ear. That's not what I'm talking about. He said, I'm almost done. I beg you to listen. He said, Homer, don't speak evil of your brother. If you speak evil of your brother, you judge your brother. And if you judge your brother, you judge the commandment. And if you judge the commandment, you're a judge. Homer, there isn't but one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Listen now. He said, in other words, keep your mouth shut. Listen to me about your brother. Why? Listen now. It's because there isn't but one lawgiver, Barbara, who pronounces judgment on a situation. There isn't but one lawgiver, the true judge, that pronounces judgment on a situation. Either he saves or he destroys. So there's one lawgiver who pronounces judgment on a situation. Either he saves or destroys. He told me not to be a judge because there was only one judge that saved or pronounced judgment, destroyed. So then if I run my mouth about Sandy, if I rip her openly about what she did to me, I have become a judge. And the writer said a judge saves or he destroys. Now that word destroy means to literally not want that person on the face of this earth. He said, there ain't but one lawgiver, Homer. He said, Homer, I know that man. Listen to me. I know that man tried to take your wife. I know he did. It's a true story, guys. I'm not making that up. I know he tried to take your wife. But Homer, that man came to you clean and acknowledged his fault. Homer, that moment I cleansed him with my blood. I cleansed him with my blood because he came with sincerity to me. And he asked me to forgive him. He came sincerity to you, Homer, and asked you to forgive him. At that moment, son, being a citizen from heaven, you were commanded by spiritual law that lives inside of you to forgive that brother. When you chose not to forgive him, Homer, and you spoke about him, Homer, you became a judge. Now a judge, Homer, when he renders judgment to save or to destroy. Homer, you took my place over that man as a judge. And when you took my place over that man as a judge, I told you, Homer, that a judge either has the power to save or to destroy. That word destroy means you could care less if they lived or died. Literally is what it means. When you chose to speak about that man, guess what you pronounced over that man? Guess what you pronounced? You literally wanted to, what? Destroy. There was a capacity in you, Homer, that could have cared less for that man at that moment, whether he lived or died. You became a lawgiver. You pronounced your mind over my truth. You said, I don't care what you say about the situation, Jesus. I'm judge over this matter. That man hurt me. I'm going to revile him. I'm going to talk about him because I don't care if he lives or he dies, Lord. How do you know? Because I opened my mouth against him and I rendered judgment against his sin. If I didn't talk good about him, I dang sure wanted to destroy him. He said, you lawgiver. He said, you hypocrite. You know what he called a man or woman that lived in that state in chapter 3 of James? He said, you are an adulterer. Not physical adultery. You are an adulterer. You knew to forgive that man, but you chose not to, Omar. You've made yourself an enemy of me, Omar. You locked up the kingdom of God, son. You exalted your mind over my word, you little judge, you. When you spoke words over that man, something inside of you could have cared less if he lived or died. You rendered judgment over him. I told you to love, you hated. I told you to forgive, you walked in unforgiveness. He said, you judge you. There wasn't but one lawgiver that saves or destroys. You took my place, son, over that situation. And when we take that place over God in that situation, my friends, we walk in ought. We walk in unforgiveness. And all that heaven is to me and you is locked up. Why? Because we chose to rip our brother or sister. We chose to judge that person's hand. He said, a judge, he saves or he destroys. When you rose up and spoke about that person, you dang sure weren't trying to save him, Sandy. But in your heart, there was a capacity inside of you to want them wiped off the face of this earth. The very thing that saved me and you, the blood of Jesus and unforgiveness. It's an injustice for me. And guys, and I'm preaching to myself because James helped me come to terms with myself that I had unforgiveness in my heart. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you instruction. Because I confessed over my people that I wasn't too crazy about for about 30 minutes. And right when I thought, Kathy, I was doing good, guess who came to my mind again? The same person. What did I have to do? Father, I thank you that my brother has done nothing to me. You know one of the people that I got offended about, and I'm not going to say a name, and it's so childish of me, so childish of me. Sometimes I feel used, you know, in the youth ministry. Sometimes I do. Sometimes people don't call me, and this is childish. This is flat out childish on my part. You know, they don't call you. You try to love them. You try to do your best for them. And then they ignore you for 2 or 3 weeks. And then they want something and they'll call you. And that sort of, it gets to me a little bit, Julio. Because you figure they love you more than that. You know, come do this for me. Okay, man. I mean, be surprised to come by and say hi to them every once in a while instead of call them every time you needed something. And, you know, that's immature on my part. That's just, it's just immature. Couple people that I know that we've gone out of our way, me and Renee, to do things for them. Gone 3 or 4 hours to do stuff for them and help them just out of the goodness of your heart. And they don't call you for 2 or 3 months and then they call you again and they want a favor again. That little thing offended me, Kathy. Or a person that comes to town and uses your automobile and leaves without telling you and don't say nothing to you. Guess what that did to me? Offended me a little bit. And it caused me not to want to talk to him. That is minute, friends. That shouldn't even have fazed me. But I'm still growing like you. And every time I saw that person or heard about him, they would even call me. And I would return their phone calls. Not an excuse. Pride on my part. But I'm under construction too. Those were easy to get over. Those were easy to get over. The hard one was the man that tried to take my life. That one was hard. But I promise you this in closing, every time that I see that person, I will lift up their name before the Almighty God and pronounce blessings over them, Kirsten. Whatever it takes to not walk in awe and unforgiveness. It's nobody's fault when we get offended. Have you ever hung on a cross? Have you ever received the mark of the Jews for living godly? We were spent 3 days in hell because of living godly. No, none of us have. Therefore, none of us have an excuse ever again to take an offense and our brothers and sisters. Be careful next time that you rip your brother or you walk in hate towards your brother. Because in judging them, you judge the commandment. And if you judge the commandment, you judge God. I'd be real careful on what I ever said again about anybody. Because in so doing, I ripped them openly. Something in me, deep down inside, maybe not all the time, there's a capacity in me for me not to want that person around me or alive, maybe. That's a dangerous place to be and a tough situation to live in. Consider that next time you rip somebody. Consider that next time you make yourself a judge. A judge saves and a judge destroys. The reason James called that believer a judge is because he spoke about his brother. If you speak about your brother, you render judgment, and something in you didn't want that brother around or even possibly alive. It would be to your best interest. Listen to me. It would be to your best interest to put somebody's name up before the throne room of God tonight if there's somebody you don't like. If every time you see them, they irk you, you better put their name before the throne room of God, because you, my friend, are in prison. You're in prison. It hit me today when he said in the book of James, he said, my brethren, those of you, Alex, or anybody else that likes to blog here, I want you to consider this now. I want you to, because me, that I don't blog anymore, but those of you that want to blog and preach or teach somebody, here's one for you. Here's one for you right here. He said, be not many teachers. Listen to this now. Be not many teachers. Those of you that want to disciple somebody or be a father or mother in the spirit, well, think twice. My brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. Listen to this now. Listen to this. Well, you slap me in the face. For we all stumble in many things. Listen to this. If any man does not stumble in logos, is what he said. He is a complete man, able to bridle his own tongue. This is what he said. Be careful, those of you that want to be a teacher. Be careful if you're presenting yourself as being something that you're not. Be careful, Homer, Alex, if you're blogging. Be careful about what, James? He said, if you're keeping the logos, the word, or if you're walking according to the inward witness habitually and consistently, you can tame your tongue. If you can tame your tongue, you can become a teacher. But if you can't walk according to the inward witness consistently, you better shut your mouth, or you will receive the stricter judgment. Why? Because if you didn't walk consistently in God and you gave somebody the presentation that you did, my friend, you're going to be judged more severely come the day of reckoning. You better be careful what you're spitting out there. You better be extremely careful. Because when a person preaches or teaches, you're putting yourself in a place of authority, representing the kingdom of God. You better be living out of that born-again spirit if you're going to try to teach somebody else. You better be, or you will receive the stricter judgment. Be real careful how you present yourself. That's why I don't write nothing anymore. I don't write a blog. I don't even want to preach sometimes. Honest to God, I don't even want to preach sometimes. Be careful. If you desire that office, you better be living out of that born again spirit. If not, just shut up. The church nowadays, everybody wants to preach and teach. Well, I slipped up 3 weeks ago, but it's okay. I'm under grace. I'm still going to do this. No, man. And my girlfriend forced me. I didn't want to, but she forced me. But it's okay. I'm going to blog today. She forced me. She accidentally dropped her clothes, and I accidentally hugged her. It was an accident, but it's okay. I'm going to blog today. It's okay. It was an accident 3 weeks ago. I'm under grace. Darn it, I'm going to do it. No. He said, if you don't live out of that inward witness, so you're going to receive the stricter judgment. Why? You know why a person that preaches is going to receive a stricter judgment? Because I'm preaching to you. I'm giving you the impression, Julio, that I got it going on. And if I don't got it going on, giving the impression that I do, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble, Renee. I'd be real careful in this church if I did worship, if I did anything. I'd be real careful here. First of all, because Pastor Brown probably knows what you're doing. You better be real careful when you want to preach or teach. I've had people mad at me because I didn't let them teach here. Let's watch our tongue. Let's watch our tongue. Let's keep the commandments of God that live inside of me and you. Our brothers are just that. They're our brothers. Be careful, little lips, what you say. That's why, honest to God, I don't blog no more, Sandy, because I know me. I know me. I don't want to be just another person that blogs with no substance, with no anointing. Everybody wants to blog. Everybody wants to preach and teach and quote verses on faith. Everybody does. Everybody does. With dirty hands. With dirty hands. It's time just to live right before God. Just keep our mouth shut and live right. It's time to die to the things of this world, to live according to the laws of the commandments of God. It's our time, friends. It's our time. It's our time. Our forefathers were killed because they lived right, not because they lived wrong. I never read of one man after he got born again that slipped back into adultery. Not one of the true followers of Jesus Christ. Nowadays, it's acceptable to live an inconsistent life. Well, I'm praying. It's okay. I'm going to do it because I'm praying. We're under grace. No, my friend. No. No. That's false doctrine. That's false doctrine. I had an occasional slip up. I'm going to go ahead and do it. No. Our forefathers, the 11 that got born again, that changed the world upside down, they didn't accidentally slip into masturbation or fornication or adultery. No. They had power and dominion over it. They had complete power and dominion over it. That's what God's after. Men and women with clean hands, not dirty, that all they want to do is live in the house of God. It's time now, my friends, to just sell out to the kingdom of God. It's time now to sell out to the kingdom of God. We don't have but so many days in our life that we have to find Him. We can't take yesterday back. Let's show everybody that we're Christians by how we live instead of what we say. Because we're always going to tell somebody the right thing. Some of the most anointed men that I know say nothing. Some of those that are so inconsistent say everything. Pastor Bronx says nothing. We went to a football game with him the other day, me and my wife. What's he say? Nothing. Pastor Dave, he says nothing. Oh, but I blogged every day about a year ago. Mr. Unforgiveness. What a dummy. Be careful when you open your mouth about your brother. And I would advise you of this. If there's somebody you don't like, deal with it tonight. Deal with it tonight. Deal with it tonight. I promise that'll be an awesome way to allow the Father to penetrate your very being and saturate your mind, soul, your whole body. Get rid of that unforgiveness, man. Get rid of that ought. Let's receive a revival within us. Some of you are hungry. Some of you aren't. Because you don't see the end result of your lifestyle. My friend, if you die without Jesus in your heart, there is no tomorrow. You can't go around living like a sinner and think you're born again. It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. You might say, I'll live how I want to live. You're right. You're right. I tell my three kids a day, look, you go out now. Live how you want to live. I'm not going to lose sleep if you're out messing with the world. Because I'm going to make it. I'm going to find Jesus. My kids are going to make it. But I refuse to live to lose sleep over lifestyles. I won't do it. I'll love them and encourage them as their dad. But I'm going to go on. I'm going to deal with all the issues in my life. And I'm going to find Jesus. I want to be consumed by this man. I don't want to preach. I don't even want to teach. I told Pastor, remove me. I don't want to teach. After being in Dave Roberson's service for 5 days, what could I possibly say? What could I possibly say after being in a service like that for 5 days? I'm embarrassed to preach. When you see a man say, I'm healthy, Deidre. Because I have no unforgiveness in me. I've been in this thing 18 years and still battle with odd and unforgiveness. What could I possibly say? I'm a child in God. I'm a little child in God still. But I'll grow to young man status. I'll get there. I'll get there. I represent purity. But yet I let sickness consume me because of odd and unforgiveness. It's okay though, because those days are numbered. I know what to do to get it off of me now. Come with me on this journey, friends. Come with me on this journey. Come with me. Come with me. Just soldier right along with me with your mouth quiet. Soldier with me. Come with me. Come with me on the quiet path to encounter this man named Jesus Christ. Come with me together. Come with Pastor Brown. Come with the elders of this church. Let's go down that quiet path and find and be consumed by this man, Jesus Christ. Well, I don't have to blog and tell you what I am in God. Well, I can walk right by you. Well, I walk in so much anointing that you'll feel all that God is inside of me. That's what he's after. He's not after bloggers, teachers, preachers. He's after disciples, men and women of God, that all they want is him. Not notoriety, not to be esteemed, not to be called smart. He wants us to walk meek down that quiet road into revival. Some of you are going to come with me, some of you aren't. But those of you that are, come on, baby. Let's take this quiet path into encountering this man named Jesus Christ. We'll do it quietly. Amen. Bow your heads with me, please. Jesus, I worship you. Father, I thank you for all my friends here today, Lord. Some of them might not have honor and forgiveness in them, Lord. They might not. I know I sure the heck did, Father. And it hindered me from all that you are. If you heard anything tonight, if there's anyone that irks you, put their name before the throne room of God. And I'm telling you, God will come visit you. Amen. Learn from my error. Learn from all my mistakes. I can teach you from the errors that I've made, and I've made plenty. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you to all of you that help out. Reuben, Jimmy, Barbara, Oralia, Mavis, Alex, Renee, Julio and Kathy. The harvest is white. Let's win this town for Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Give me some music, guys. Hallelujah. See you next Sunday night. Hallelujah.